gentlemen, Eagles fans across the globe. What's going on, everybody? Welcome in. This is the Locked On Eagles postgame show. The Eagles 2019 season has officially come to an end on this Sunday in the wild card round against the Seattle Seahawks, 17-9. And it was a game that, you know, me and Gino all week long, or really since this incredible magical run has happened in the month of December, where the Eagles win four straight and they win the NFC East. And they just made the playoffs. That's really, I mean, we were just happy to be there, Gino. And, you know, we were kind of, the word we used over and over again was house money. And that, you know, even if they didn't win this football game, even if they looked sloppy coming out, what they did in the last 4 weeks of the season was worth it. It was worth it to get Carson Wentz on this playoff run to show that he can win these big moments and come through for this football team despite the talent around him. And yet I'm feeling, and you and the fan base and the media and the players themselves as well, there is a lot of emotion tied to this game that I didn't expect. And really, because the one scenario that would leave you with a lot of what ifs, with a lot of heartbreak, with a lot of just frustration and sadness and, you know, anger and everything, is the scenario that Carson Wentz doesn't get that playoff game under his belt that we so desperately wanted to see him play in for 4 years now. And that's exactly what happened. So, you know, for me, it's a mixture here of emotions of pride in this team that they have lost everything this year. And then they lose the biggest piece, your quarterback, when you already had out there your fourth string, fifth string, sixth string, seventh string wide receivers, your second and fourth string or fifth string running backs, your a backup right guard and a right tackle. And to the point that this game was a game the entire way with a 40-year-old quarterback is a prideful feeling. I mean, I've never been more proud to cover this football team. The fact that it was an 8-point game and you had three red zone trips to try to tie the football game without Carson Wentz is amazing. It shows the resiliency of this football team. It shows the heart just to another level. We didn't think the resiliency could get to another level after what we saw the last 3 years. But today, it really magnified that. But at the same time, it's heart-crushing because you got to feel for Carson Wentz, man. It's like, what does this kid have to do? You know, he tears his ACL after nearly winning the MVP, and his team goes on a Super Bowl run without him. Then last year, all the struggles, he fractures his back, they go on another run without him. Now, finally, you know, he plays a full 16-game season. He wins the division despite people talking bad about him, despite all the injuries around him, the drop passes. And he gets 9 minutes into this football game, and he gets cheap-shotted by Jadeveon Clowney. I don't know what he's feeling right now, but it's a heartbreaking feeling just to think about what he's going through, for sure.
I'm trying to think back to, like, the levels of sadness that I feel at this current point in, like, my Eagles fandom. I obviously think back to 03 when they only put up 3 points against the Panthers in the NFC Championship. How about the NFC Championship against the Cardinals in 08, that was pretty tough. I mean, you always have the first Super Bowl, of course. Probably since then, when Carson went out in 2017, and then today, like, all very, very bad moments in time for Eagles fans as a whole. But these last two seasons, the way that they ended, a lot more can be taken away from the result than, or not, a lot more can be taken away from what happened prior to the result of last year's divisional game and today's wild card game, because the stretch that they've gone on now in three straight games tells you more about what this team is as a whole rather than what the result is of Alshon Jeffrey dropping a ball that gets intercepted by Marshawn Lattimore, or Carson Wentz being targeted and no call happening against Jadeveon Clowney, and then they score 9 points because they have Josh McCown with a pulled hamstring having to lead their team. But the thing is, they never died, man. They never quit, even when it came down to down to Josh McCown limping up to the line of scrimmage with Shelton Gibson having to draw a pass interference and Josh Perkins being a main blocker on a majority of plays and Deontay Burnett having to step up. And this team never said die, man. And that's one thing that I'll always take away from this, is that down to the last second, they fought their ass off, and nobody in Philadelphia, no Eagles fans are going to take that away from this team, but just what could have been. I mean, this is two completely different games, even though the same result happened 17-9 in week 12 and then 17-9 today. Week 12 was just Carson Wentz pushing the ball down the field and not a lot getting going. today he didn't even have a chance to do that. When the defense looked good the first couple drives, and we don't even get to see Wentz come out. He's out after 9 minutes, and we just kind of saw our fortunes in the crystal ball at that point. And we talked about the two most important positions in football. Coaches, no matter what, I mean, look at Liberty with Hugh Freeze. He coached from a hospital bed this year. Doug Peterson can be out there coaching no matter what. But when your quarterback takes a hit like that to the back of the head, and he is the most important player on the field and ultimately the guy that has gotten you to this position, winning you four straight games, that took all the breath out of the Eagles, man. But hats off to the rest of the guys. It's just unfortunate that it went down this way, and that's why I'm disappointed. Just how it went down. Me and you, we said that they were playing with house money. We do have the ability now to pick 21st. We do have a good draft pick, and we'll see what happens moving forward. This team has a good building block. They have a good base moving forward. The last 4 weeks tell me a lot more about this team than what today's result did.
Oh, 100%. And that's why, it's again, I go back and forth with the emotion, because what happened the last month was good enough for me. It established that, man, what they have in Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson is special. Not that we didn't know that already, but it really just confirmed that that combo, regardless of what the situation is around them, can elevate to a level that almost, you know, maybe 30 other teams, 28, 29 other teams could not get to with their quarterback and with their head coach. And that was such a great feeling. But at the same time, again, the scenario that played out is one that leaves you sick to your stomach, like last year with the Alshon Jeffrey drop. And, you know, I'm a younger Eagles guy, so I didn't go through any of the stuff in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, but, you know, all those NFC championship losses in the early 2000s. I think back to the NFC title game in 2008 and, you know, the Michael Vick interception in the wild card round against Green Bay and the game-winning field goal against New Orleans in 2013. You know, there's a bunch of them, and I didn't expect this loss to be up there with that, but It's because of Carson Wentz, and you feel so sick for the guy, because he overcame impossible obstacles that so many other people just wouldn't be able to overcome. And in such a huge market for football, and a competitive one that's so unforgiving already, and then he gets cheap-shotted, and that's the way he goes out. It leaves you with what-ifs that I wasn't going to have if Carson Wentz played this entire game and they lost this football game. But now, when you see how the game ended with three key trips into Seattle territory, and a penalty takes it out of touchdown range, and then a Miles Sanders drop on fourth down, and then basically a coverage sack on Josh McCown, it leaves you, Gino, with a what-if of what if Carson Wentz doesn't get hit by Jadeveon Clowney, and they win this football game because it was 17-9. At least one of those drives maybe turns into a touchdown drive. And then you head to Green Bay next week, and you get DeSean Jackson coming back, and you get Lane Johnson. So all of a sudden, this run that you're on, that you're playing with house money, suddenly becomes one with significant weight that has suddenly Super Bowl aspirations that you didn't think of. So that's what's tough, is now we have to sit with that. But especially Carson Wentz now has to sit with that for, what, you know, a half a year, and that's tough.
I want to believe that he won't have to sit with that, because everything that you're hearing out of the locker room today is exactly what you want to hear. You hear that Boston Scott said that Carson, even after he got the concussion, stuck around and told every player on the team that he's proud of them. Malcolm Jenkins outright said that they love Carson Wentz. That's what you want to hear for them, man. And you know that they felt bad for the kid. Everybody said it. Doug said it. Jason Peters said it. It's just unfortunate. And he pushes through a lot more than a quarterback, than many other quarterbacks have in their first 4 years.
I don't think anyone's ever gone through something like this for the first 4 years, dude. Like, I think this might be the most adversity a quarterback had to face his first 4 years.
In such a tough market, too, man. And I'm glad that a large majority of everybody in Philadelphia feels for the guy, and what's going on with, like, the mainstream media calling out Carson Wentz on a play
that it's
disgusting, and it's so unfortunate, because Carson Wentz is 6'6" and 230-some-odd pounds. If that's just you or I taking that hit, like, we might be paralyzed. Like, he's lucky he didn't get more injured than that hit looked, because that was bad. But in college, you know what would happen, Lou? As much as the NCAA doesn't pay their players, they do take care of helmet-to-helmet hits in a very good way with the targeting rule. They break it down, they'll stop play, they'll review it. If it finds out that it's a targeting, they will overturn it, they'll issue the 15-yard penalty, and the player would get kicked out of the game. But you know what happens into the NFL, a league that, quote, talks about how much they care for their players? Carson Wentz was out for the rest of the game, and Jadeveon Clowney didn't even get a foul against them.
It was sick. And you know what the worst part, too, Gino, was, like, the way the media, like you said, handled it, the way NBC did not even talk once about the level of dirtiness that that play was. And this isn't, by the way, this is the second time Jadeveon Clowney has done this against the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback in the last 2 years, because he nearly took off Nick Foles' head last year. So this is who Clowney is. He's taunting the fans and the players for the rest of the game. And yet NBC continues to hype him up, talk about how crucial he has been to the game. And yet, and even the referees, they say after the game that it wasn't intentional what he did to Carson Wentz, because Carson Wentz didn't give himself up, that it wasn't a penalty. But the fact that Wentz is already down by contact and Jadeveon Clowney comes down like a spaceship with his head clearly leading with his head, pile driving Carson Wentz's head into the ground. It was a sickening display from the Seahawks, who, by the way, even before that, were getting away with late hits on Wentz and Miles Sanders and holding calls over and over again, and by the officials for not calling nearly enough penalties. And by the way, Josh McCown suffered another late hit later on that also did not get called. It was an embarrassing weekend of playoff officiating. For the NFL should be embarrassed, and Roger Goodell was in the stands. And then by the media to once again try to reap the benefits off the sake of this terrible, this narrative-forming criticism of Carson Wentz and his health, no matter what. And it's not just health. The national media loves to feed off of Carson Wentz for clicks. And, you know, a couple people, Josina Anderson, Torrey Holt, you know, Sam Monson, all trying to blame Carson Wentz and justify a injury-pro narrative based off of this is just, it's humiliating for them. How you have any journalistic integrity after this, it's absolutely embarrassing.
Yeah, we're gonna be the pod of positivity and just spread positive things that come from this. And Carson Wentz, all in all, is just an absolute warrior. Like, let's say it the way it is. The guy has battled through so much, played with a broken back, threw that touchdown that sealed the 2017 season with a torn ACL. If he didn't have a concussion, he's playing in that game, man, like, without a doubt. It's just so unfortunate that that happened. But this just leads to the overarching theme of what happened this weekend, and let's not act like the Eagles were the only ones to be on the wrong side of calls. It's just, overall, on Wild Card weekend,
every single game had something like this.
Every game had one. But let me tell you what, Lou, not one of those other teams had a big of an impact via a penalty than the Philadelphia Eagles, because that one, that changes the entire tide of the game that Carson Wentz hit. I mean, he's out of the game. You could call the blindside block in the Bills game, yeah, hit or miss, but they still had Josh Allen for five quarters. The Saints today with the offensive pass interference, so they once again had a home game that they blew. The Eagles had 9 minutes of their MVP-esque quarterback. That sealed the game, in my opinion, man. I mean, there's not much making up for it past that. Once Josh McCown comes in the game, it's a good thought that he could go out there and they could have another run, but the writing was in the stars when that happened. It's just truly unfortunate, because the defense, they had a good performance from Fletcher Cox. He really came out there, and the line did things well today and only allowed 17 points. Jim Schwartz, man, with the season on the line, Lou, like, I thought I was dreaming that they were about to send a zero blitz with no help over the top on Russell Wilson, who has time and time again shown that he is one of the best quarterbacks against the blitz. And, man, I want to not be mad at this game because of what happened in the first quarter, but it was there for the taking at a few different times, even with McCown, and you needed your defense to step up. With all those guys healthy, with your cornerbacks healthy, with your defensive line healthy, and on the biggest play of the game, Jim Schwartz once again let this team down.
You say it all the time, you know, situational Jim, and that's, it's hard to be mad at really anybody on the field because of just how, you know, Brandon Graham was also injured in this football game. Miles Sanders is banged up. Zach Ertz had a cut kidney and a fractured rib. But, you know, situationally, especially the defense did not come through, and the offense, you know, they had opportunities. You're right. I mean, when you lose your quarterback that was elevating all of this to a point where they probably shouldn't be playing in this football game, it's really hard to come back from that. But at the same time, the fact that they nearly did and it was a one-score game throughout, you really do have to commend them. And, you know, it's embarrassing for the NFL. This is a league that's supposed to be, you know, about player safety, and, you know, they preach it all the time, and they're supposed to be protecting the most important position, that is the quarterback, and yet they try to justify that after the football game. It's embarrassing, and like you said, you know, in the Bills game, there was that, you know, the Titans-Patriots game, there were officiating, you know, errors, and the Saints-Vikings game as well. So overall, for the officials, just not a good look on wild card weekend at all. And the last thing before we take a quick break here on Carson Wentz, I'll say is it's frustrating because, Gino, he really myth-busted all of these narratives that were formed around him, right, this season about, you know, being injury prone and being clutch and being able to beat good teams and by throwing the football a lot and, you know, big moments and all these different things, you know, getting rid of the football quickly and you know, whatever. You know, there was all these different ones each and every week that people tried to get clicks off of. And yet, you know, like, congratulations to the clickbait quote-unquote media that now, I guess you have one that kind of was given to you that's not accurate at all, but they're going to go off of Carson Wentz still doesn't have playoff experience. You know, he still hasn't won a playoff game. Like, there is two right there now that if they want it, they can have it. And that's the most annoying part, is because we were on the verge of, if he just finishes this football game, there's almost nothing you can say. And yet it was so embarrassing to see so many people have a field day off of this injury. And it was really embarrassing. But for me, like, Gino, that's not why I'm disappointing. Is I didn't need that playoff experience for Carson Wentz, because to me, you see so many different young quarterbacks that are playing in the league in the postseason for the first time have success. Like, to me, he doesn't need that to have playoff success going forward. It's just frustrating because, you know, again, you see what could have been next week if they win this football game. And it's more just a celebration of him finally getting to this moment, you know? So that's more so where my head was at with why it's so frustrating to see him miss it. Not because I think he needed, you know, for performance-wise, for the future, he needed to play in that game, but more so just because they could go deep this year, and because of how hard he worked to get to this moment. The last 4 weeks, it was that, too.
I mean, you gotta just give credit where credit is due to this team the last 4 weeks. Like, today I'm not even going to look at this game and really count it for anything in, like, a futuristic standpoint, because, I mean, how many of these guys are going to be active role players?
That'll be interesting to talk about, for sure.
It'll be an interesting discussion, but especially on the outside. I mean, outside of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Greg Ward, is Robert Davis and Deontay Burnett and Shelton Gibson really going to be playing meaningful minutes for you? Is Matt Pryor going to be playing, and Halepuli Vaitivaitai, are they going to be playing playoff games for you moving forward? We talked about the injury luck, man. It's not just Carson Wentz. It's a lot of these guys. Like, it would have been great to have Malik Jackson. It would have been great to have DeSean Jackson. It would have been great to have Camus. It would have been great to have Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks. It would have been great to have all these guys. But the one thing that you could take away is that they fought through adversity once again. And moving forward, you hope that the injury luck isn't as bad. But this team, they have the building blocks. They re-up Brandon Brooks. You have Lane Johnson there for the future. You drafted Andre Dillard. You have Carson Wentz, Miles Sanders, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Alshon and Deshaun are going to come back healthy. You still have Ertz and Dallas Goedert. There's a lot of brightness in the future of this team, especially with a fully loaded draft. You now have 10-plus picks coming into this class. Moving forward, this team has a lot of promise. And take away the good out of these last 4 weeks and out of this season, even when all the chips were against them. I know I've been cliche the last couple weeks, but that's something that you can't teach. What you learned today in this playoff game and just fighting till the very last second with a chance to compete against Russell Wilson, even when you're down to nobodies, that teaches you a lot as a team and as a coaching staff and as a brotherhood of players. And you could see the emotion in guys like Josh McCown was crying in his press conference and in the locker room. And you just see how much of a brotherhood that this team felt going down the stretch. And we were questioning the locker room a lot through the season. And you mentioned a lot of questions about Carson Wentz. And you now have your leaders in place for the future in Wentz. And Fletcher Cox, by all stretch of the imagination, was the defensive leader today. There's a lot of positive to come out of this team. Don't get too down after today. It's just very disappointing how it had to happen. But all in all, moving forward, the future is bright for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, yeah. I feel really good about where this team is going. Like you said, it's just, again, how they lost the football game. It's not that they lost it, and even in a close fashion, I didn't really feel heartbroken about that at the end. It was just number 11 not being out there. That was hanging over your head, I feel like, the entire game, and it's something that you're trying to enjoy watching the football game, and that you just keep thinking about that over and over again, like, man, three straight years this has happened in huge moments, and it's, again, you feel for the guy. I don't know how I would handle that kind of adversity, but, you know, he has handled more adversity for that a 26-year-old guy can handle to start his career than maybe you'll ever see. So he's going to have to do it again for sure. And, you know, he's going to have an offseason, like you said, of, you know, good health. It's a concussion. It's not like it's something that's going to take him 8 months to heal. I don't want to, you know, lessen the importance of not getting concussions for sure. It's a dangerous injury. But, you know, at the same time, he'll be healthy heading into the 2020 season, a full offseason for Howie to recoup. You know, he has all these draft picks now, like you said, to surround him with talent and, you know, cap space and free agency. It's just going to sting probably for a little bit. And there's a lot to build off of. Miles Sanders today, he's probably kicking himself about that drop on fourth down, but another big day from him, 14 carries for 69 yards, averaged 4.9 yards per carry. Dallas Goedert, I mean, how clutch this kid has been down the stretch, 7 catches for 73 yards. Boston Scott making some big plays too, nearly 50 yards from scrimmage again today. And on defense, Malcolm Jenkins, Fletcher Cox, the core of that defense moving forward is still as disruptive as ever. But you know, you mentioned Josh McCown, Gino. I don't know what his role will be for the 2020 season, whether he's back as a, you know, a backup quarterback, or if he's a quarterback's coach, or, you know, an offensive assistant, maybe even to the point of an offensive coordinator. Who knows? But the level of passion, the fight, the emotion that he played with today, like a 40-year-old that is evading defenders that are as old as his kids. After pulling a hamstring, he's keeping, you know, read option plays and slinging it down the field. I mean, you got to commend the guy for being thrown into this kind of football game since not playing a snap since week two. You saw him crying after the game. It was tough to watch, but man, hats off to him. I don't know what his role is with the organization moving forward, but that's a kind of guy that you want to keep, definitely, for Carson Wentz and for this Eagles football team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can see, especially just from this game alone, like the positives and the negatives of some things. I saw you tweeted about the defensive backs not getting their head around.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I think that position as a whole needs to be addressed. The coaching staff there as well. Jim Schwartz, that needs to be addressed. Your linebacker play has to be addressed. You have to possibly make some changes at the offensive play design and the offensive coordinator by chance. There are a lot of questions still to come out of this game, but you still had a lot of positive, which is very good. Boston Scott, another very good game. To find a player like that is unbelievable. And hats off to Jim Schwartz and his team, man, to find this many players season after season to get them in the building and have them play meaningful minutes when guys like Shelton Gibson are just walking off the street and they're having to play in the playoff. It's truly remarkable. And we talk about a guy that out of all the players on defense in the secondary that I want to see moving forward that played today, Cravon LeBlanc. That guy will battle every single play, and out of him, Mills and Maddox, he played the best in my opinion. One thing I have a question on, Lou. Where the hell was Sidney Jones all game?
I mean, I think we both felt like this was coming, but at this, like, we both knew that it was the wrong call. Mm-hmm. But when Jalen Mills is healthy, when Avante Maddox is healthy and Cravon, I think we kind of saw this coming, but I'm with you. He should have been out there because there were too many times where even LeBlanc, like, he made some big plays, but he also got burned on a deep ball mm-hmm. by Tyler Lockett because I don't know what Corey Unlin is teaching these guys. Sidney Jones apparently gets it, but nobody else does, to turn your body around because there's so many interceptions and pass breakups left on the field that have turned into huge receptions, and not having the one dude out there that knows that is it's a head scratcher for sure, because it was Jalen Mills today, Avante Maddox, Cravon LeBlanc, whatever Corey Unlin's telling them. I mean, it's I feel like it's CB 101, Gino, to turn around at that point of the field, you know, of the play.
We really saw like an encapsulation of a lot of the things that plagued this team throughout the year. Failing to get off the field on third down, it just felt like 2018 all over again.
The tackle was abysmal.
Oh, tackling was dreadful. Nigel Bradham on that missed tackle on Russell Wilson was just one of the worst things I've ever seen. Nate Geary, once again, was lost like a deer in headlights today. They shot themselves in the foot with stupid penalties. You once again have a Jason Peters false start. Derek Barnett with a stupid penalty again. It just, I don't get it with that kid. He had to step up this game, and we frankly let me down in all intents and purposes. But, man, did you see that Jason Peters wants to come back and play next year?
I did see that, and it's not going to be here.
You needed the left side of the line to step up today when the right side was just purely beaten and battered, and once again, they look bad. I don't get what it is. It's him and Sayamalu just had like some communication issues that weren't there when Dillard was in during the middle of the season. It was disappointing to see, but there's only so much you can do when you're down two guys on your offensive line and your wide receivers just can't separate. I mean, the most separation we saw out of a wide receiver was the first play of the game to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. In all honesty, outside of that, we didn't really see anything else. But tough game all in all, man. I mean, just you wish you could have seen 11 play a full game. It's really disappointing.
You know, that's I really enjoyed the last month not having to talk about a lot of penalties and turnovers and a lot of the same stuff that has hurt this football team, because I will say both sides of the football, they did really clean up those mistakes for the most part. You know, you would see relapses here and there, but today a lot of that stuff in 2019 that made it such a miserable season for the first half of the year did rear its ugly head. And specifically, you know, Jason Peters and Derek Barnett, the undisciplined play, you know, these penalties just they kept killing them. And that was one of those first drives where Josh McCown led them deep, Geno, to try to tie that football game up. You know, they're on the 5-yard line, and Jason Peters gets a false start, and that backs them up at the 10, and they got to throw the football, and McCown takes a sack, and, you know, there you go. And one thing I wasn't happy about, too, Jason Peters, his nickname is the Bodyguard, and he's helping up Jadeveon Clowney over and over again.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
I did not. I mean, to me, they were too easy on Jadeveon Clowney today. I just remember the Jason Peters of 2014, who nearly took off the head of what was his name? Chris Baker, that cheap shotted Nick Foles. And today he's helping up the guy of, I guess the national media could use that if they want to cherry pick something to make up a narrative that they don't like playing for Carson Wentz, because Jason Peters helped up Clowney. And that to me was not cool, especially for who JP was supposed to be.
Without a doubt. But yeah, moving forward, you have a lot of young players on this team that are going to contribute in big ways. And you have a potential star right now in Miles Sanders, and what he's done this entire season is huge. Fletcher Cox, we talk about the paradigm of a player you win because of. If you wanted to see an example of a player you win because of, watch Fletcher Cox's performance today. It was elite by every stretch of the imagination. He stepped up when nobody on that line was really doing much. You really didn't hear anybody outside of Vinnie Curry doing anything of note. Brandon Graham was in and out of the lineup, unfortunately, but there's just so many injuries that you could take before the camel finally gives over, and it finally did with Carson Wentz. You lost one of the two most important pieces of this team. Doug Peterson was still there. Wentz, unfortunately, not. You saw how dejected he was walking to the locker room, and it was kind of just, in a nutshell, what this Eagles season was, what could have been. What could have been if DeSean Jackson was healthy? What could have been if they had a better record and were able to get a first-round bye? What would have been if they had more able-bodied receivers going into this playoff game? What would have been if they could have made it next week to Lambeau with Lane Johnson and DeSean coming back? It's just, hopefully 2020 is what could be, and we get to see the good of what this Philadelphia Eagles team could be for a full, healthy season.
Well, that's the thing. You know, with all of the negative we're talking about, too, that was in this football game, you know, the situational tackling being terrible and the coverage lapses, you know, that final play where DK Metcalf, they send the house, cover zero, and Marcus Epps, in a huge moment, he has DK Metcalf one-on-one down the field. I mean, you have no chance with that. So, but with all that being said, like you said, I think there were more positives to the end of the season that you should be feeling. There's work to be done. There's work to be done, and they need to just be healthy for once, because they were putting out all these fires with all these injuries. But then the Carson Wentz fire, that'll burn down your entire village, and at that point you just got to be like, throw your hands up and say, let's collect that insurance money and we'll move on to the next town. And but yeah, there's a lot of positive that we'll get into this week. You know, we'll take a step back, and you know, after these are the first, you know, post-game feelings. We'll take a second look at this 2019 season, but for now, it's one that, again, didn't expect to feel this kind of way after the loss, but once you put things in perspective still, you use context, still a way better end of the season than we thought. After that Miami game, did not think this was what we would be doing on January 5th. I thought we'd be talking about the Senior Bowl, which, you know, is 2 weeks away.
I remember talking to you about you and the Fourth and John guys in late October and what the Eagles team, if they lost to Buffalo and they had a chance to for the season to really go off the rails, and they didn't. They won that game, and then they lose a couple weeks later in two bad games to Seattle and New England, and we're like, what the hell is this team? And then they win a couple more games, and then they lose to the Dolphins, and we're like, oh, this team is a bunch of frauds. And then they go on four straight wins, and we're like, hey, we have a chance to win a playoff game. And when you step back and collect the what that means, at no given point was this team ever out of a chance for competing. In my mind, they had exactly what it took. They had a Super Bowl winning head coach with a quarterback that is a top 10 player in this, or a top 10 quarterback in this league right now, in Carson Wentz. And you had a team that was willing to step up when other guys went down, and guys like Boston Scott stepped up when it mattered, and guys like Cravon LeBlanc, when they came back healthy, stepped up when it mattered, and Matt Pryor had good moments, and guys like Josh Sweat had good moments, and the list can go on, but the thing is, when everything was down and out, when you and I questioned them, when everybody else in outside of the organization, and I'm sure there were some internal sputters as well. You hear about the big Jason Kelce speech that he had after that Miami game, saying that the offense wasn't playing well enough. The one thing is, this team never gave up on each other, and that is the culture. That is the new norm, that no matter what anybody else says, no matter what the national media wants to say, no matter what everybody outside of the NovaCare complex wants to say, if you're wearing the wings on your helmet, your team will play for you, and they will play for the coaching staff. And that's what you saw the last three seasons, and that's ultimately what you saw here in 2019. I have nothing but good things moving forward in my mind for this 2020 Eagles season and beyond. I'm so excited to get talking into this offseason, because we're not sitting here and are we supposed to rebuild? No, we're right on the edge of creating something great, and just imagine one fully healthy season. We haven't seen it. I mean, even 2017, we were down Jason Peters and Darren Sproles and Carson Wentz. Just one time. They have to get the injury luck to go their way. You saw a team like Minnesota. They had all 11 offensive starters from the beginning of the season healthy today. When nobody gave them a chance in New Orleans, they counted on themselves, and they had 11 players that they knew could go out there and win. When the Eagles only had four of their 11 offensive starters that started the season out there today, it wasn't a great prospect. But at the end of the day, they still had guys that lined up every single week and competed no matter what people were saying about them, and they made it to the playoffs, Lou. That is everything you want to see in your football team. You didn't have – yes, there were concerns midway through the season with – you still had all the anonymous source crap, and just Orlando Scandrick was a big mistake and everything that was going on there. And you've seen other teams falter, and look at the Cleveland Browns and what happened to them this year. Things could have gone very, very badly. But we're sitting here 2 months removed or 3 months removed now from winning that game late in Buffalo. And not at any time from then to now do I question who this team is culture-wise. I know who they are. I know what you're going to get out of Doug Peterson. I know what you're going to get out of Carson Wentz. I know what you're going to get out of any of the 53 guys that put on the midnight green moving forward. You're going to get players that will overcome adversity. Oh my gosh, this day is just killing me. They will overcome adversity. They will battle to the last step, and no matter what, if you meet them on Broad Street, they're going to put up a fight against you.
I'm glad that that's the team that ended up being the real identity. We didn't know what that was going to be. Sometimes we saw the collapse in Dallas and in Miami, and like you said, the Buffalo game in Chicago, and these last four wins before this game even, it showed you what kind of football team this is. And we kept questioning what the real identity of this football team is, and we did it last year too. And I'm glad both seasons, while they didn't end exactly the way we wanted to, they ended with a feeling of, yeah, that new norm, while maybe that's not a Super Bowl every single season, it definitely is a team that is resilient and plays for one another, and that's something you can certainly build on for the 2020 season. And we have a new team to hate on, too, now, the Seattle Seahawks, you know, the New Orleans Saints and the Minnesota Vikings.
I never
want to
play them again, ever. I don't ever want to play Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll ever again.
It was the Vikings in 2017, the Saints last year, and it's, you know, we always were like, oh man, can we just beat the Seahawks once? But now there's real personal vendetta against the Seattle team, so I don't want to see them again. But the Carson Wentz revenge game next year would be nice to see. And the Eagles, by the way, will see the Seahawks again next year on the 2020 schedule, because the opponents came out last week and they will play the Seahawks. But we're not done. The Eagles have an offseason. Howie Roseman, of course, is going to be busy just as much as we are. The players, they're going to take some time off. The draft, free agency, we got the Senior Bowl in a couple weeks, the Combine. All that different stuff will be coming up, and Locked On Eagles has you covered. The regular season may be over, but me and Gino, we don't get an offseason. The offseason is a regular season for us as well. We'll be recording tomorrow 4 to 6 episodes a week throughout the offseason, just as much as the regular season. And we know a lot of you guys love that, and you guys tune in the offseason just as much as you do right now. So we want to thank you guys so much for really riding this incredibly chaotic wave that was the 2019 season. And we look forward to carrying you through the 2020 offseason with Gino starting in Mobile, Alabama in 2 weeks, Gino. So the offseason is one, like you said, the season ended with enough optimism, with a playoff berth, that it makes us feel a lot better heading into the offseason. And now we can talk about how to really build this team back up into a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
You look around the division right now. Jason Garrett was officially let go halfway through the season.
He finally let them do it.
Finally. The Giants still don't have a head coach. Washington is moving into year one of Ron Rivera. Right now, Doug Peterson is the longest tenured coach in the NFC East. They have a quarterback who now has led his team. Yes, he has led his team to 2 playoff appearances moving forward. He's going to be the franchise guy. You have an offensive line that, I'd say right now, you have 3 out of the 5 pieces solidified for the long-term future. Jason Kelce, I would still worry about, and Isaac Seumalo. Could you replace him? Your defensive line, man, I can't wait to see Malik Jackson lined up to Fletcher Cox next year, and Brandon Graham back healthy, and Derek Barnett, and your safeties. You still have Rodney McLeod, Malcolm Jenkins. I'd love a young one there. I'd love some speed wide receivers. I would love some guys on the edge that can cover one-on-one. It's going to be interesting to talk about what this team needs, but the thing is, you have a lot of good pieces moving forward. And most importantly, Lou, they have the 2 most important pieces in football, their quarterback and their head coach. Never wavered on Doug Peterson. I'm never going to waver on Carson Wentz. He stood up and fought until literally the NFL took him out of the game. And that's what matters to me. He is our franchise guy moving forward, and that's what you need in the NFL.
It's a perfect way to end it, Gino. And we'll be back tomorrow. We'll take another look at this. You know, not only this game, but really this season as a whole, and was it successful from a standpoint of, you know, the beginning of the season, the goals, but to the end as well. We'll get into that. I want to hold off on that until tomorrow's episode. But that's why make sure you subscribe to the podcast, even through the off season, because me and Gino, we hit you with 4 to 6 episodes a week downloaded into your phone all 12 months of the year. Just head over to any podcast platform or LockedOnEagles.com, and the conversation always continues on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase, L-O-E, and at Gino_L-O-E. For my co-host, Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds!